This is Transformation Church Podcast. Here at TC, we represent God to the lost and found for transformation in Christ. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
Good morning, Transformation Church. Oh, come on, let's give God a shout of praise. Yo, I don't know how to feel at this moment because the worship that just happened, yikes! If you don't recognize it, the Spirit of God is in this place. And when I say in this place, it's whatever place you're in right now. I just want to thank God for a worship team that follows the Spirit. I know that some of y'all were sitting there like, when is it going to be over? God wanted that to happen. And some of us needed that. How many of us needed that worship this week? How many of us needed that? Listen, I want to make a promise to you. We will always be a church that goes with plan B. Let me explain it to you. Plan A is always whatever God wants to do. And when it comes to our plan, we always make that plan B because God wanted to do something. And I'm so grateful for our worship team right now in your home. Can we give it up for Transformation Worship right now? Y'all can do better than that. Man, I love y'all so much. And today I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to speak God's word to you. If you're just joining us, we're in week 5 of a series that we're calling Help Me, F You. But I'm about to preach in a minute, but I got to tell you something. Transformation Church is literally the best church to be the pastor of. Transformation Nation, this has been a year of all kinds of unexpecteds. We didn't know what God was going to do or allow. We didn't know all of the things we would have to journey through as a church. But the way that you guys have been showing up and sharing and changing and transforming, the word of the year this year was stronger. And literally, I can tell you that as a church, as a staff, as your pastor, as a leader, we are getting, everybody say it with me, stronger. And the thing that I realized about strength is strength never comes without resistance. Like, I wish I would have known that. I didn't preach a message at the beginning of the year that talked about how hard it was going to be. I was on the top of a piece of wood talking about, this is going to be us. We're going to be. And doing all, I wish the Lord would have tapped me on the shoulder and be like, get ready for one of the hardest years of your life. Because when you're going to get stronger, it comes with resistance. But guess what? You're still here. Guess what? We're still here. If you're still here and you've gone through everything that has happened, that means you are, guess what? Stronger. And we are going to end this year strong. Every year since Transformation Church has started, we choose to be a church of faith. Like, we don't just believe that the things that God did were for back then. We believe that He wants modern day miracles today. And we use our faith, we exercise it, and I want to invite everybody to something that we do every year. We give in an end of the year offering every year. And I'm telling you about it right now because it's not going to happen now. Everybody's like, uh-oh, turn it off. Uh-oh, they're about to ask for something. No. Every year we give in an end of the year offering. And this year, just like last year, the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me move it. We're going to give in our crazy faith offering. And some of you know that this has been something that we've done because we've decided that faith always needs to be challenged and that we are going to be ones to trust God in every situation. And so on December 6th, we are going to be giving an offering that we pray about, that we seek God. And I know some of you right now are like, how in the world would God be requiring anything out of me? The church is not requiring anything from you. All I'm asking you to do is pray and see if God wouldn't tell you something that you should give. See, what you don't understand is that faith is a way of life here. Like, it's not something that we just talk about for a good series. Let me take you down memory lane because some of y'all just joined us. But February 1st, 2015, me and Pastor Natalie became the lead pastors of Transformation Church. And it was one of the scariest days of my life, as well as one of the most fulfilling days of my life because it was the moment that I knew that when God called me to do something, he would instruct me. And this day, he said, take this baton from Bishop Gary, and then I'm going to give you instructions. And I stood on that platform on the first day of me being the pastor of Transformation Church in faith. Everybody say in faith. I said, say in faith. And I said what I felt that the Spirit said to me. This church will be a multi-ethnic church, a multi-generational church, a multiplying church, and a multi-campus church. And we were none of those things at the time. And I said it in faith, just hoping with my knees buckling like, Lord, please don't let me fail. I have a report to tell you that almost 6 years later, that Transformation Church is a multi-ethnic church, a multi-generational church, a multiplying church, and don't put nothing past God because we might be a multi-campus church very soon. But see, it was that moment of faith to say that moved things forward. But God never just said, say something. He said, do something about it. And I said, okay, what do you want me to do? He said, Michael, your first act as the pastor of Transformation Church, I want you to tell the people in Crazy Faith, when we had 300 people in the hood in a converted grocery store, I need you to tell them that we need to raise $80,000 for cameras in Crazy Faith. God, if I go out there and tell them we about to raise $80,000, matter of fact, they're going to boo me off the stage, they're going to cuss me out, and they're going to leave the church. He said, did I tell you to do it? So I did it. And some people left the church. And some people booed me off the stage. And some people walked out on what they said was a move of God. But the people who stayed, the remnant, they stood in Crazy Faith. And we raised $80,000 to buy cameras in Crazy Faith. And the reason you can see and know about Transformation Church right now is because of the Crazy Faith of a bunch of people who did not have a promise of millions of people watching on YouTube. They did not have a word that said this will be showing in England and Africa and all that. They didn't get a promise, they just had the opportunity. And those people right now, some of them sitting in the room with me, they sowed in Crazy Faith. And it didn't stop there because 1 month after I became the pastor of the church, God told me to do something even crazier. He said, Michael, wake up. Write this down. And I wrote down this piece of paper right here. This is the exact document that I pulled up in Pages. And the first thing that I did after I Googled an image of the building I now stand in, I put Transformation Church on the top. And if you look real closely, you can see the flaws in my graphic skills because it's all jacked up, all at the top. I even spelled transformation wrong. I spelled transformation. I don't even know what I spelled right there. I left it right there because somebody needs to know it doesn't have to be perfect to be a promise from God. Somebody needs to know that it doesn't have to make complete sense. And I wrote this down, that the Spirit Bank Event Center will be Transformation Church and about 13 other things. And I said, March 9, 2015, 729 in Bella's room. I wrote it down in Crazy Faith. And for 4 years, I didn't tell nobody about it, but I had a word from God. And then in 2018, I stood in front of our church at this same time of year. And I said, guys, we're going to sow an offering at the end of this year for whatever God is going to do next. And I had no clue. I didn't know this building was going to open up. I didn't know all of the things that God was going to do. But there was a group of about 3,000 people in Crazy Faith that sowed in that season. And when this building came up, Bree is sitting here as my witness. We had a 3-day window to be able to get and be a part of what God was going to do and fulfilling this word. And literally because of the generosity and the crazy faith of people, we were able to pay to be able to put the down payment on this building. Let me help you understand what God has up ahead for Transformation Church and Transformation Nation. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it even entered in the hearts of man. But we got to participate in what God is saying. And then last year, many of you participated in the Crazy Faith offering, and we came here and people flew here and all kinds of stuff happened where people gave from all over the world. And do you know what it allowed us to do? It allowed us to pay off this entire building in 5 months. We are debt, y'all don't hear me. Right now, we are debt free because of the faithfulness. Do you know what that allows us to do? That allows us to send checks to Hope City for $65,000. It allows us to be able to bless a church in Texas with $200,000. It affords us the opportunity when there's crisis in the land for us to go and make a difference. We're feeding people in the Dream Center in North Tulsa right now, over 10 million meals. And Transformation Church, you are a part of that. We're able to help single mothers, to help stop sex trafficking. We're able to do all of that as the Church of Jesus Christ because we have faith to believe. And we use our hands to show our heart. And we give just to give, not to give. We don't know what God is gonna ask us in this next season, but He will ask us to participate with Him. So on December 6th, we're gonna give from all over this world. Me and my wife are already praying right now, and I know, you see my leg moving. Every time my leg moving, it's because I know that God's gonna ask me for something I don't wanna give. But it's not a real gift until there's some sacrifice in it. It don't really, if I could just, oh, let me give that, then that didn't mean anything. I didn't need His help to do that. But I'm telling you, this is the time where we're inviting you to an opportunity as the year is ending and it's all about what can we get with gifts and Christmas and all that. Transformation Church is gonna say, what can we give? Who can we bless? And the Bible tells us so clearly, and this is why I love our church, this is why I'm telling you like 6 weeks out, 2 Corinthians 9:7-8 says, each of you should give what you have already decided. I'm not about to put no guilt trip on nobody and try to convince anybody. Give what you've already decided in your heart. That means you need to ask God, what am I supposed to do? And you need to sit with it until it's settled in your heart. Don't give reluctantly or under compulsion because God don't even want that. I used to tell our youth group, it's like, if you don't want to give, keep your stanky dollars. And I mean that because God doesn't want you to feel like pressured into this. He said, I love a cheerful giver. I love somebody who understands who I am and they're giving to more than what they think right now. He said, I love a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. Right now, I'm going to pray because for some of you, there was a seed dropped in your heart. You didn't come in here ready to give nothing for the rest of the year. Do you know what type of year I had, Pastor Mike? I ain't giving nothing. I'm keeping everything. And God's saying that is the key to your breakthrough in this next season. Everything in the kingdom is reversed. When you need, you give. When you hate, you love. And God's given us an opportunity where the world would tell us, hoard everything. You don't know what the economy is going to be. You don't know what's going to happen with this. And God's saying, what kingdom do you belong to? And as for me and my house, Transformation Church, we're going to stay in the attitude of generosity. So, Father, for every person that heard this word and even has a desire to be a part of what you're going to do, Father, we don't know fully what it is, but we know it's big. We know it's going to create transformation in Christ. We know it's going to meet the needs of real people, not building buildings and not just doing things for facade, but I'm talking about transformation. God, I thank you that if it's our desire, your word says you'll give seed to the sower. Let us not devour the seeds you give us. Let us not negate what you're doing. Father, you don't care about amounts, how big or how small. Father, you just care that our heart is positioned to give. And so on December 6th, as we give in crazy faith, I thank you right now that somebody's faith is being uplifted in this moment. That somebody who's looking at, Father God, despair and distraction and distress, they're about to get crazy faith, Father God. It's only crazy until it happens. And God, you're the God of working miracles. So today we surrender. And I thank you that you would water our hearts. And I'm just thanking you right now by the Spirit of God that there is something miraculous going to happen, Father, leading up to this point, that people are going to see your hand in their lives. We trust you, we believe you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. If you believe that December 6th, we're going to see a miracle all over the world, can you give God a shout of praise? Come on, in your home, right here in the building. Glory to God. There will be more information coming about how you can give in Crazy Faith and online and all that other stuff, but I got to get to the word right now. This is week 5 of a series we're calling, I need everybody in the building to help me say, F-U. And that stands for Forgiveness University. And I'm glad to let you know right now that you have made it to the halfway point of this series. And that means that it's time to start putting what we've learned into action. We have spent the last 4 weeks setting a foundation for forgiveness, setting an understanding of what forgiveness is, what it isn't, how it's supposed to move, how it's supposed to be used in our lives. And the one thing I can sum all of that up with is this one definition that I keep giving to every person every week. Forgiveness is a primary spiritual discipline of every Christ follower. Do not claim Christian and you do not forgive. I need to be that clear. It may be hard for you to do right now. That's why you're enrolled in this course right now. It may be difficult because of what you've gone through, but do not claim Christian and think that you can hold everybody accountable for what they've done for you all your life and never release anybody. You have to forgive. And the reason that I'm saying that to you is because in church all my life, forgiveness was said so much that it lost its power. Oh, I need to forgive them. Oh, I'm gonna be mad for a little bit, but then I'll forgive them. Come on, let's be honest. It's like, yeah, I'm just working on forgiving. But nobody actually did it. They just said they were gonna do it or said they needed to do it. We were never taught how to do it. That's why I'm doing 10 weeks on this series, because it is a primary spiritual discipline of every believer. And somebody's saying, well, Pastor Mike, what is forgiveness? Let me give you a definition of forgiveness. Take me to the big board, please. Forgiveness is the intentional. Everybody say intentional. And voluntary, say voluntary. So it has to be on purpose and nobody can make you do it. It is the intentional and voluntary process by which a victim, that means it's legitimate, they messed you over, they did something wrong, they abused their power. It is legitimate. You are the victim. I don't want to take that away from anybody, because a lot of times people get offended and they don't want to forgive because they want the person to know that what happened to them is legitimate. What I'm telling you, it did happen. It is legitimate. You were wronged. You were violated. So you, as the victim, you undergo a change or a transformation in your feelings and attitude regarding an offense. So they did it and they offended you. And because of the power of Jesus Christ, you overcome negative emotions such as resentment and vengeance. God wants you to realize that forgiveness is not for them. Forgiveness is for you. And most people don't understand that. They feel like they have a power over somebody. I ain't forgiving you. You ain't never coming to this family reunion again. You are never going. And it's like, yo, they off living their life, not even thinking about you. And you're trapped in this whirlwind of thoughts. Some of y'all got people on your Instagram and Facebook feed right now that are twisting you around in all kinds of frustration, because you're like, how they on vacation? They don't remember what they did to me. How they wish me happy birthday? They don't remember what they think. They don't even think about it. And you're trapped in this because you have not experienced forgiveness. And God wants you to be free. And so last week, again, we got an understanding. Proverbs 4:7, it says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get an understanding. So last week, we got an understanding. Now I want to move us into wisdom. And wisdom is applied knowledge. So now that we understand it, it's time to apply it, okay? Now, I want to let everybody know, I told you for 4 weeks, I'm not going to ask you to forgive. And some church people who are used to everything happening in the same service, you've been like, when am I going to forgive? When am I going to forgive? And you've been trying to do it in your own way. Just let the course finish. It's been 4 weeks, and I have not asked anybody to forgive anybody. But today is your first day of forgiveness. Today, I believe the understanding of it is strong enough. And if you haven't watched it, go back and watch all 4 of the other ones. But today, we're going to apply what we have learned. We're going to walk in. Everybody say wisdom. Yep, and I think that's what the culture is missing right now. We have a lot of information, not enough wisdom, not enough applied knowledge. And today I want us to walk in wisdom. And so who are we going to forgive, Pastor Mike? I have so many people on my list. Who am I going to forgive? My dad today, my mom, my coworker that really made a rude comment about my hair, and I really was going for that look, and I hate them now. Am I going to forgive my teacher who spoke down on me? Am I going to forgive my spouse? That person would probably be good because we sleep in the same bed and it's just really been cold for the past 5 years. Am I going to forgive my siblings who I'm not looking forward to going to Thanksgiving with them or Christmas with them? Am I going to forgive even my pastor, the one who did the wrong thing to me and used me for my gift but didn't see my calling? Who am I going to forgive today, Pastor Mike? None of them. The first person that you're going to forgive today, which is usually the last person that you think about, today I want to say to you, F you. Forgive you. Today I don't want to talk about forgiving anybody else externally. Today, I want to talk about forgiving the one who it's the hardest to forgive. Forgiving the one who was there. Forgiving the one who sent the text. Forgiving the one who made the inner vow. Forgiving the one who made a timeline, and because of a decision that I made, I missed the opportunity that I thought was going to change everything. And I've been silently holding myself responsible for not being in the place that I thought I should be. Today, F you. Forgive you. Why don't we start with the person that you would like to deflect the light from? I just walked around for many years trying to get this concept for other people, and I never gained the freedom for myself. And I'm scared that too many people have their list of people that have wronged them and that they want to forgive now. But then they can forgive all of those people. You've gone to the graveside and cried over the graveside, and you've gone and written letters to them, and you've done all of these other things, and you still feel trapped. It's because the one person that you've never forgiven is yourself. So we're gonna forgive mom and them. We're gonna forgive pops. We're gonna forgive everybody that hated on us. But let's start with forgiving you. Look what the scripture says about it. And I want you to write this point down because I think this will help you. Because there's people right now that it feels uncomfortable. But I promise you by the end of it, you're going to know you're worth being forgiven. Selfish forgiveness is the first step to selfless forgiveness. Selfish forgiveness, talking about you forgiving you, is the first step to actually being selfless in forgiveness. Look what Mark 8:36 says. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world, have right relationships with everybody else? Everybody else has been forgiven. Everybody else is walking in relationship with you at a great level, and lose his own soul, mind, will, and emotions. Isn't that where the battle happens on the inside of me? In my mind, my will, in my emotions? I be seeing people. How many people right now talk to yourself? Come on, let's be honest. Come on. Oh my God, why did you even say that? You sound like such a dweeb when you said that. Oh my God, I look good today. Oh my God, and you do all of this stuff in your self-talk. And if we were to play out loud the dialogue you have with yourself, you would be your worst critic. If we were to, even the people who act like they got it all together and prideful and acting like they all of that, honestly, all of that is a mask for how you actually feel about yourself. And what I found out in this is that God doesn't want you to forgive everybody else and forget you. Don't forgive everybody else and forget you. That's why forgiveness is your key. Somebody say forgiveness is the key. Say it again, forgiveness is the key. Let me give them an actual example. See, what forgiveness does is it locks you up. It puts me in the chains. Hold on 1 second, let me wipe my thing. Okay, it puts me in the chains, go ahead. Now, ouch, why you put me in like that? See, the thing about this right now is I can get an instruction. Lift your hands and raise and praise God. Yeah, I'm going to a limit. Tie your shoe. Okay. Like basic things, I'm chained. But the crazy thing about forgiving you is it doesn't take anybody else to do this work. It takes you because you have the key. Like when he put the chains on me, I have the key. So even though I want to focus on what everybody else needs, I need to slow down enough to put the key in. Now, I got the key. No, but you coming over and you're going to chain me again? You're going to come back in here and offend me again? You're going to come and say something different? Hold on. Before I act out of what they did, I got a key. I can actually forgive myself for actually going to the party. Yeah, I know I want to talk about the offense that happened at the party. But the problem is, if I wouldn't have gone, it would have never happened. So I need to forgive me for even deciding to go to that school, even choosing that degree, even getting married to that person. I need to let myself go for letting my kids go spend the night at their house. They would have never been abused if I would have said no. And what God is saying, that even when you forgive everybody else, you can still be sitting here in prison. Because I did text back. I thought it was just going to be a cute little, like, I was just feeling bad about myself. So I thought the relationship was just going to be like a cute little thing that I could, you know what I'm saying, have on the weekends. And it turned into a 3-year abusive relationship. If I wouldn't have been on Instagram. And many of us get external healings, but we still have internal failures. And so we never forgive ourselves for the internal failures. But you have the key. Forgive yourself. Let yourself go. You don't need your husband to do this. You don't need your kids to do this. You don't need anybody. You have the key. And even though this hand is free, this hand still bears the scars. But I still have the key. And I just came to tell somebody by the Spirit of God that the things that have been holding you, I'm taking my time on this because it's going to take you a minute to understand that you're worth being forgiven. The things that have been chaining you, God gives you the key. It does not matter if they bring another set of handcuffs. I still have the key. It doesn't matter if I move to another town and get in another job and get offended the same way. When they put the cuffs on me, I can control forgiving myself. Somebody say, I got the key. Say it again. I got the key. So what do you want me to do, Pastor Mike? Forgive you first. Forgive you first. Somebody needs to, this week, get on your phone, and I'm going to do this because I had to do it in one of the hardest places in my life. Some of you know my testimony, but when me and Pastor Nat, we were high school sweethearts, I just feel like, can I be raw today, Charles? Can I just, like, because this is not for the ones who come just fanfare. I'm trying to get somebody changed and transforming. Me and Pastor Nat, we've been together since I was 15, 14 years old, And so what ends up happening in this moment is I come into relationship with her and we're on our road to get married. And then I cheat on her. And I literally sacrifice everything that God gave me that was good for a moment of pleasure that ended up robbing me for years to come. And I worked so hard on making the relationship right with her that I hated looking at me. Like, I was literally going through so much, here's my cell phone, I'll never do that again, and da-da-da-da-da-da, that when I got by myself, I didn't even, like, I remember not looking myself in the mirror or getting dressed in the dark or being able, because I didn't want to see what I caused myself. And I know everybody's not there right now, but you might be in a different season, and this word may help you. What you need to do this week is look yourself in the mirror, and you need to get your cell phone out and just say, Michael, I forgive you. Come on, somebody needs to do it right now. Get your cell phone out. See, this is the first time, because some of you, when you look at you, you see what you did. You see the guilt. You see the shame. You see the pain. You look at the situation. But go and get your cell phone out right now. And don't look at me on the screen. Look at yourself. And I want you to say that you forgive yourself. I forgive you. Come on, Michael, I forgive you. Say your name. Come on, say it again. Michael, I forgive you. Do you know how awkward this is for so many right now? What I'm trying to do is get you out of, hey, I need to forgive you. Do you see what you did to me? Forgive me. I want to forgive you. And God says, turn it on you. I forgive you for answering that phone call. I forgive you for actually doing the action. I forgive you for forfeiting what God had for you in that season. I forgive you. And if I forgive you, what it does is remind me of how much I need him. Because I am projecting what other people think about me. I know what you think about you. I know that everything that you did wasn't an accident. I know that you meant to do some of that stuff. I know you planned it. I know you have thoughts that if she doesn't sleep with me tonight, then you're just gonna come home and watch pornography and masturbate. I know you. And today, I'm forgiving you. I'm releasing you. I'm taking back what the enemy has tried to use as a pawn to keep me in prison. And I'm submitting myself openly to God. And I'm telling you, that no matter where we are today, I forgive you. If we're in a marriage that's horrible, I forgive you. If we're the one causing abuse to somebody else, I don't know if I can make it right with them. But today I gotta free you. I forgive you. I gotta see myself differently than I've seen myself before. And today, this may be the hardest step of forgiveness that I take. But if I can get it right with me, I sure can get it right with them. I forgive you. Where the organ? Where the shout? Ain't gonna be none of that. See, because the intimacy that you have to get in to forgive yourself is one that maybe they can't be a lot of people around for. See, the thing that I need everybody to understand is that forgiveness, taking this time and being selfish enough to say, I need to forgive me, allows you to be reminded of what you actually did and who you actually are, and it does something to you. It humbles you. When I think about who I really am at the heart level without God and what I've done, and even though I point the finger at everybody else, but I think about the times that I tried to manipulate my way into situations and try to get this to happen, and I hurt that person, and I intentionally made a joke about them because I felt insecure about myself, so let me make them feel bad about themselves to make me feel, all the times I did it on purpose, it makes me humbled. And this is one of the key ingredients that's missing from forgiveness, because you cannot forgive anybody else in pride. To be forgiven and understand all that you have done and God still says, I forgive you, it humbles you. It brings you lower. It makes the self less. Let me give you an example since we're in college. Do y'all remember this symbol, the less than and greater than symbol? Do y'all remember that? And if it faces a certain way, it means less than. And if it faces the other way, it means greater than. When you actually forgive you and you get reminded of all the things God said, yeah, I'll forgive that and I'll let you free from that and I'll give you the key to let go of that. What ends up happening is self is less than needing an apology from them. So I want an apology, but because I've been humbled by the forgiveness that I needed for me, myself is less than. I don't need an apology. I can release you even if you don't ever acknowledge that you did it. I feel the presence of God coming in this place to help somebody. This is why you got to forgive you first, because we have a plan of how we want it to happen. But what you got to know is self has to be less than, what's the next one? What people will think. Well, if I just let them go, that they're going to think I'm weak. And my mama raised me to be hard. You know what I'm saying? I'm a strong single woman. And I'll bust your head. Play knuck if you buck if you want to. And see what I can do. Stilettos, pumps, in the club. And you do things. Come on, let's be honest. How many of us do things because of what others think? And God says, when you become humbled before me and you realize how much forgiveness you need, self is less than what people think. Huh? Self becomes less than, this is a big one, revenge. I'm going to forgive them once they feel what they did to me. And I'm going to intentionally make them feel how they made me feel. And after I know that their heart has been broken, like my heart, do y'all know that how many relationships, especially in marriage, that when somebody cheats on them, then the spouse now cheats on them? That's not because the spouse wanted to cheat. It's because I'm not going to forgive you until you experience what I felt. And so self is not less than revenge. What is it? Self is greater than. And this is where pride comes in. And God's saying the reason you have to start forgiving you because it makes you aware of the forgiveness that you need and it brings you low. When I was in that moment and I'm sitting there crying to Natalie about how bad I messed up and how bad I want her heart to trust me again and that I know this is going to be a process, self was less than anything else. The only way that I was able to forgive me was to put myself low. And then I said, God, you're going to have to help me. He said, no, I'm not. You did what I said in my word. You humbled yourself. He said, this is the greatest thing any believer can learn, is to humble yourself so I don't have to. I said, you're going to have to give me Bible. He said, great. I got it for you. I want you to go to 1 Peter 4:6. He said, Michael, when you forgive you, you get humbled. And what you need to realize, I'm telling you, humble yourself. Humble you under the mighty hand of God. And then watch this. And at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. They told me this week that Relationship Goals, the book, which is based off of me and Natalie's relationship, is the number 9 top-selling book in the world out of every book that's been made, over 200,000 titles in 2020. Let me help you understand that people know me for my relationship now. That's how they know me. But how it started was in humility. We're looking to be relationship goals when God says, I need you to just humble yourself. I need you to get in a place where you face what has happened, take ownership of that thing, and you can be able to humble yourself and start with forgiving you. Write this point down. Forgiving you produces humility, and humility is required to forgive anyone else. This is where I'm going to see if people are going to stay a part of this class, because this one is going to hurt. To actually look at what you have done and not be prideful about it and put it on them? Well, Pastor, you don't understand my situation. I understand I don't understand your situation, but is there anything in you that needs to be brought low? And this is the scripture that reminds me all the time, Psalms 138:6. Even though the Lord is high above, he sees humble people close up. If you're humble, close. And he recognizes arrogant people from a distance. He still recognizes you, but he's further away. And how many people, just raise your hand right now, need help forgiving? Come on. I need help forgiving. I need God. I need the Holy Spirit. I need baby Jesus. I need all of them. I need help forgiving. Well, God says, if you need my help, he said, you got to be humble. So if you need that help, you got to get humble. If not, you're trying to get assistance from a distance. This is how many people live their Christian life. They don't want to change anything. They want salvation, but they don't actually want to walk in regeneration. They don't want to have sanctification. They don't want to walk worth anything. And so what they do is they say, I'm saved, but God, I need your help. And he said, the sin in your life, the people you keep accusing, the things that you're doing, you don't put me close, you put me at a distance. And I don't know about you, but if I'm going to actually be able to forgive, I don't need assistance from a distance. I need God to be close to me. For the things that I have to forgive for, I need him to be close. Humility produces closeness with God. Some of you right now don't even want to accept this word. You're thinking like, what's T.D. Jakes talking about? What's Stephen Furtick talking about? And this is the word that you need right now to be able to get off of everybody else externally and deal with you. Somebody say, I'm going to forgive me. Mark 12:30. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Secondly, and it's equally important, love your neighbor as you. Love your neighbor as you. No commandment is greater than these. Okay, Pastor Mike, you saying I gotta love my neighbor. What does it mean to love? I'm glad you asked. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Can we stop there? No, we gotta keep going. It keeps no account of wrong. Love forgives. Love takes no pleasure in evil, but rejoices in the truth. I came to tell somebody that you need to forget the who and you need to focus on you. Forgive you. F you. Forgive yourself for making that inner vow that you would be married by 26. And now you're 32 and you feel like if I would have just done this, this could have happened. Forgive yourself for the personal promise that you broke. I'm going to be a virgin until I get married. And it was that one night at prom that you decided to do this thing and it happened and then it spiraled into habits that now are your lifestyle. Forgive you for your predetermined deadlines that you set that by this time I'm going to be a millionaire. And now every moment after that time is miserable because of something not God set, but you set. Forgive yourself for taking advantage of people in situations. Some of you were manipulators of situation, manipulators of your parents, manipulators of boyfriends and girlfriends or coworkers. Forgive you for the immaturity. Some of us have just made dumb decisions because we didn't know. Can we be honest? There were some dumb things that I did just because I was immature, and those immaturities had real life adult consequences. And I have to forgive myself for what I did. Forgive yourself for the neglect. Some of you were bad parents. Some of you were bad parents. I don't know all of the things that went around it. I don't know all of the hurts that you were dealing with. But now you look at your kids in the place that they are, and every time you see them, you can't rejoice in any good because you still haven't forgiven you. I know nobody talks about this. I know this is not sexy, but the relationship that's strained with you and that family member is because of something you actually did say. You said it when they were out of the room, they found out about it, and now y'all relationship is broken, and you still haven't forgiven you. Forgive yourself for the thoughts of jealousy that pushed you away from people that God called to you. Those people were supposed to be in your life, but because you got jealous of them, you pushed them away. And now you're walking in isolation and you're making up things like nobody's for me. I just feel like I'm called to walk alone. And God's like, no, I sent you Jerome, and Jerome was supposed to walk with you, but you pushed them away because they got a job promotion and you didn't, or because they got this thing. And God's saying, forgive yourself for the part you played in that. And this is a big one. Forgive yourself for the flagrant fouls. The things you did flagrantly. One of the things that I know about myself is when I was in that situation, and y'all already know I can't teach on nothing that I'm not going through or that I've gone through. I have to be that authentic. But when I cheated on Pastor Natalie, a lot of those things were not accidents. Excuse me. None of them. Nobody made me get in the car and drive at that time of night to that person's house to take them to the gas station. That was flagrant. Nobody made me ignore the phone call when the Holy Spirit was sending somebody to disrupt the flow of what was happening. God was giving me a way of escape, and I ignored it. Ah! What happens when God performs his word in your life and you hit ignore? What if he gives you a way and you intentionally jumped over the hurdle? He put a speed bump and you ran right through it. Flagrant fouls I made. And I tried to get it right with them and them and them and them. And God said, you still didn't forgive you. I feel the presence of God right now. It's time for you to forgive you. All right, I'm going to be very practical with this because I know I've been building this, but the reason that this is so deep in me because I walked around for almost a decade actually holding myself accountable for the mental space I was in, for the emotional space I was in, and I never knew that I had the key the whole time. I had the key to get out of this, and God wants to give you the key today. So write this down. I'm going to give you just a few points right now. If you're going to forgive you, the first thing you're going to have to do is face you. You got to face you. And the only way you can face you is to actually look at you, actually get a mirror of what is going on. And I'm not just talking about a regular mirror. The mirror that God gives us spiritually is his word. Our spiritual mirror is the word of God. When I read the Bible, your attitude is nasty. When I read, that's why y'all stay away from it, because if you actually start reading it, it shows you what's on you. It's the only book that you read it and it reads you. I cannot hide that I'm walking in pride when I read the word. I cannot hide that I'm in sexual temptation when I read the word. When I put that mirror on me and I start looking at what God says is good and what grace looks like and what his love looks like, I see clearly I'm not walking in love. And see, what happens is we have interactions with people. And I have an interaction with Charles and I'm like, yo, bro, I love what God's doing in your life, man. And I appreciate you, but I'm really hating on the inside. And I can't wear a whole pajama suit to lead praise and worship. And I can't put one on yourself. I can't even, you know what I'm saying? My kids, you know what I'm saying? They can't look as cute. You got blue-eyed kids and all my kids. And I walk away from that situation and you see me, but I don't see me. See, the problem, if you don't face you, you will walk around like everything's great, blessed and highly favored. God is moving in my life. I don't have unforgiveness for anybody. And everybody sees, like, you angry. You mad. You're bitter. You have spite. You actually hate your parents. But it's not until you get into the word of God. That's why I'm proud that you're here. That's why I'm glad that you keep coming back every week. Because when you crack open the word of God, it puts a, oh, shoot. What in the world? This don't even go with who I want to be. This doesn't even match my character. This is not even who I'm supposed to look like. I thought I was up here looking professional and I look like a fool because I have not fully faced me. And today, I don't know who you are, but some of you need to face you. You need to get in the word of God. You need to keep coming back to this series. You need to replay this message so that God can say, hey, that's an area you need to forgive. Look at James 1:23. Here's some Bible for you. For anyone who hears the word but does not carry it out. Oh, you in trouble if you're watching this right now because you're now accountable for what God's giving you right now. if you hear the word, but you don't actually forgive you, you don't actually forgive others. Watch what it says. It's like a man who looks at his own face in a mirror and after observing himself, goes away immediately and forgets what he looks like. I did not make that up. That is the Bible. It would be like me coming in here and saying, dang, I look bad. Dang, I look good. What's going on with my face? What's going on with your face? Get your face like mine. That's what happens when you tune into Transformation Church and you get your spiritual high, but you don't plan to go live nothing this week. That's what happens. When God tells you, you need to be convicted of that and I'm going to lovingly give you grace. And then you keep going to the club and hooking up with people and your lifestyle hasn't changed. He said, you're like a man who sees it and then forgets what he looks like. You have what I call spiritual amnesia. And the reason that you can't forgive nobody else is because you won't face you. And today I'm coming to encourage you. It may be hard to look at yourself like this. It may be difficult to be able to see all of the spots that have happened through your life. But I'm telling you, if you face you, then God can fix you. If you face you, I said it, God can fix you. I believe by the power of the Holy Spirit that through this series, God's going to allow you by his word to see exactly the spot where it's at. When I'm looking at his word, he can reveal to me. It was when you were 6 years old and your aunt told you that thing. That's where fear came in. But until you face you, God can't fix you. Woo! Let me give you the next thing you're going to have to do if you forgive you. You're going to have to own you. You can't just face you. Own that it was on there. Own that it's been there. Take, watch this cuss word, responsibility. I know it was 95% their fault, but the only thing you can control is what God is doing in you. Own the 5%. Everybody say own it. Yeah. It's time, if you're going to be able to forgive you, it can't be all them. There was a time, there was a moment that maybe you did one little thing. And yes, they are the one who did. I can't fix them. But I can't own me. And what God is saying to his people today is like, I don't care if they ever recognize how they damaged you. I care that you are healed. Forgive you. Face you. Own you. Look what the Bible says in Galatians 6:3. If anyone thinks they're something when they're not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their, what's that word? Own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. I don't have to worry what everybody else is doing when I take responsibility for my own actions. For each one should carry their, watch this, own load. Like whatever my load is, it's not compared to your load. But my own load, I'm taking that. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. That's why I'm talking to you today, because I learned to carry my own load. As a pastor, my staff, my wife, everybody will tell you, I will say where I messed up. I will tell people that was my pride. I will tell people. We've had Bree sitting here, our chief of staff. There's been so many times where I came in. I was like, even with me releasing music and stuff like that, we've done this probably 3 times in the past 6 years where I've been like, this day I'm releasing music. It's God's timing for me. And we're going to see a breakthrough. And I will come back after we've spent money, after we've used time, after I done drove my wife crazy, I'll be like, let me get lower. Let me humble myself. I know I'm the pastor of the church, and I know that I'm supposed to hear from the Lord for everybody, but can I own me real quick? I was getting frustrated about where the ministry was in the music department. And so I decided to take matters into my own hands. And I thought I was going to do something to help God, but I was wrong. And so I apologize for what I did, what my part, my own load in making this hard for the whole staff and team. And Natalie, I need to tell you that I apologize to you for the times that I was giving you attitude and I was angry at you because I had made something in my mind that you weren't supporting my dreams, but you were actually there as a guardrail to help me stay in focus. But because I had the wrong perspective, I need to own that I did give you attitude. And that one time I forgot about that thing, I didn't really forget. I just wanted you to feel how I felt. I wanted you to feel unsupported. And so at this current moment, I need to own me. I'm teaching now. And the problem with you is that you want it to be everybody else and you won't own your load. I know they did the majority of it, but the piece I got, I'm gonna own it. Yeah, Natalie had sex with another dude when we were not together, so I felt insecure, so I had sex with somebody, but she didn't make me do that. I did that. That was the way I thought I'd feel better, but I gotta own me. God's not going to call you and your offender up and judge you. He's not going to call you and everybody who contributed to you making that decision up before the great white throne. It's going to be you. And my question is, on earth, will you have faced you and will you have owned you? Own your own load, because it's a key for you to actually forgive you. Let me tell you the next one. You need to remind you. See, after you face you and you see all of the ugly and you own you because you actually did it, then you need to remind you of who God calls you to be. You're not what you did. You're who he says you are. See, this is where the enemy tries to trick people, and this is where people fall in the pit of depression. They face themselves and they own it, and then they don't get reminded of what God says about them. And that's why the word of God is so important in your life, because failure is an event. It is not a person. Failure is an event. I failed at that. I failed in that situation. I failed at that marriage, but I'm not a failure. Somebody needs to hear me say that. I failed getting into that college. I failed being able to make that team. I failed being able to raise those kids, but I'm not a failure. Failure is an event. It is not a person. And that's why the enemy really plays with people. He toys with them with the controller of guilt and shame. But I need you to understand, because you owned it and you faced it, but you got to remind yourself of who God says you are. Guilt is feeling bad for what you did, but shame is feeling bad for who you are. And God's saying, I died for both of them, for the guilt and the shame. On the cross, he stretched out his arms and he died for guilt and shame. And I come to encourage somebody today that as you start on this journey of forgiving you, then you're going to remember all of these things and you're going to be like, oh, I deserve this. I deserve the consequences. And God said, will you remind you of who I said you are? You're a child of God according to John 1 and 12. I'm a friend of Jesus according to John 15, 15. I have been justified and redeemed according to Romans 3, 24. Myself, my old self, my thought self, my player self was crucified with Christ, and I am no longer a slave to sin according to Romans 6. I'm worthy, I'm called, I'm chosen. God has a plan for me. Remind you of who God says you are. Because when you forgive you, God says, and I still choose you. Like with every, do y'all realize it wasn't that long ago that Pastor Mike was a really bad person? Like you would say, don't date him. Don't hang out with him. Don't like him. And with all my mess, when I reminded myself of who God said I am, He gave me the courage to move past where I was, because he had a greater future for me than I even saw for myself. And today, as you face you, I'm giving you practical steps right here. Then you're going to own you. Yeah, I did it. But then you're going to remind you that God sees more in you than anybody that has ever been around you. Somebody needs to get that so clearly. I'm going to keep moving, but there is somebody that's pulling on me, because you're saying there's no way that God still sees good in me. He created you, so there is good in you because he is good. And everything he puts his hand in and blows his breath into is good. You may have not had a good season or a good chapter, but the best days of your life, if you allow it to be, are right in front of you. You got to face it. You got to own it, but you got to remind yourself that before you were in your mother's womb, God knew you. He had plans for you, plans to prosper you. You will live and not die. Somebody's pulling on me right now. I bind the spirit of suicide and depression and anxiety that has been trying to take somebody out. God says, I love you more than your failure. And today I'm reminding you that this is just a chapter. Turn the page. This is just a chapter. Somebody say, turn the page. Turn the page. Where you've been is not where God has for you. This is temporary. This is not the destination. This is just transportation. Turn the chapter. Turn the page. Sheesh. Somebody pulling on me, Charles, because somebody was about to give up. Somebody started to think about all the things that they did and they were about to give up. But God came to remind you today that this is not the end. So you're going to face you. You're going to own you. Then you're going to remind you. And then watch this one, because this is the one we don't like to talk about in church. Then you're going to grieve you. You're going to grieve the you that you thought it was going to be. You're going to grieve the family you thought you were going to have. You're going to grieve the career that you laid down to follow God, and that hasn't panned out to be what you practically saw being in the other. Grieve it. Feel it. The Holy Spirit is okay with you taking a moment and saying, this sucks. I didn't expect for that one moment of a mistake to turn into 10 years of marriage counseling. I didn't expect for my wife not to trust me. I ain't done nothing in years. Years. And my phone went dead in the car. And now she pissed when we get home, because she felt like she felt back then when I wasn't answering the phone on purpose, but I wasn't doing it on purpose. This sucks. It sucks to actually be honoring somebody and they think that you're trying to take from them or steal the spotlight or steal the shot. Like, when I gave up that six-figure job, I thought God was going to provide from glory to glory, face to face, next level. And I'm in this one-bedroom apartment, and I had to give up all of my investment. This sucks. It's a part of forgiving you. You can grieve it. You can feel. Can I prove it to you? The Bible dedicates an entire chapter to lamenting. It's called Lamentations. Do you know what that word means? A song of sorrow. God divinely let there be an entire chapter in the Bible of Billie Eilish songs. Like, I had a dream. I got everything I wanted. Like, sad song, like songs of sorrow. Some of the older people, like, Billie Eilish, all I know is Billie Holiday. I only know Billie Joe. Like, okay, like, but let me give another one. Songs of sorrow, like Bone Thugs and Harmony. Bow, 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 bow. Meet me at the crossroads. Songs of sorrow. What you gonna do? And I'm gonna miss everybody. And I'm gonna miss everybody. Like, that is a sad song. Like, it's getting you thinking about people dying before it even happened. This sucks. Bow, 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 bow. But the Holy Spirit is okay with that being part of your process. Face you, own you, remind you, and then grieve you. Grieve the body size you thought you were going to be. You wanted kids, didn't want roles. Got kids and roles. The God of abundance. Grieve it. Feel it. But don't stay there. Acknowledge it. Write it in your journals. Tell your therapist. But this is not my end destination. And that's where the enemy tries to get you to stay in grief. But God said, this is just another step to forgiving you. So we face you, own you, remind you, grieve you, lament. And then I want you to insulate you. I need you to bring some people around you. I need you to get in community, because the enemy's plan of isolation is for you to go through this process alone. Bree, Charles, Amber, Wilk, Bishop, come here. See, the thing that you need to know is that when I'm falling apart in my life, what God does is bring people around me. Ah, and this is what he wants to do for you. And these are real people for me. Like, he brings people around you that can actually insulate you. Yeah, well, I need somebody big right here. Because right now, I'm falling apart. Right now, I don't even have the strength to even act like this is something that I can go through. My son turns 5 tomorrow, and he still has autism. And what's going on in my life, I don't know if I can be able to do by myself. Did we give him the wrong medicine? God, did we do something that wasn't right? God, today, God, anything that I did, I got to forgive me, but I can't do it. Because if I didn't have insulation around me, I'd fall apart and damage myself more. But right now, God, because you're so good and you've given me community, you don't just want me to be able to make it by myself. You have now called me to insulate myself. Thank you, Jesus. And even in this moment, God, I just thank you for sending people around me. God, I've never led a multiplying church. I don't know how this works. God, maybe I spent the money wrong. Maybe I hired the wrong person. Maybe I fired the wrong person, God. But thank you for this insulation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that none of these people are my blood family, but you've surrounded me with people that are different ethnicities and different walks of life and have different things. And Father, I'm secure when I allow myself to be insulated. See, this is the thing that I want to tell somebody. That even right now, as you're standing here and you're seeing me do this, this was real. That this week, I'm an Enneagram 8. So if you know that, it's a lot for me to really show for real emotions. I was in an office with my executive team this week, crying, boo-hooing like a baby in a place of insulation. I want to give every man permission. This lie that has come from the enemy that you got to hold it all together and you got to walk and you the man of the house, that came from an insecure man who has not depended on God. God said he's close up to the humble. I literally had to look at my staff and tell them, I need you. I need y'all to help hold me up. What God's asking me to do, what he's calling me to, the prayer. God, I don't need you. I don't need an accolation from fans. I need the insulation of people who will walk with this through me. And God's saying that the only person that can invite those people in is you. You want to forgive you? You're going to have to insulate yourself. Nobody's going to bombard their way into your life and completely be shut out of everything to be there when you think you're ready. Some of y'all need to go to people and you need to say, I need you to walk with me. I need to be able to call you when I'm in this moment of temptation. Matter of fact, I need you to call me whenever you feel like it. Give people permission to insulate you. Because if you do not, this process never finishes. You face you, you own you, and then you face you, and you own you, and you face you, and you own you, and then you develop this hardness. That's like, I can handle it myself. I don't need nobody counseling. Ain't nobody wasting money on that, but you. I was about to say all the stuff that we waste money on. But you're so, what does it profit a man or a woman to gain the whole world? You got a boat, you got three houses. You got all the Jordans, all the Hypebeast shoes. You got the purses and the Coach and the Louis and the Birkin. You got rent houses and vacation homes. You got all of this, but lose your own mind, will, and emotions because you didn't forgive you. And God's saying, face you, own you, remind you, grieve you, insulate you. That's why I need everybody to be in community. In the beginning of the year, we're starting up belong groups again. And I'm telling you, at Transformation Church, this is great, but the way that you get the full experience at a Transformation Church is you get into community. I have community. I'm not just the pastor of this church and I reign from on high. No, I'm crying with people. I'm talking to people. I'm standing with people. I'm going to people's house in the middle of the night and praying and singing over them. Why? Because I have to be insulated and then I have to provide other people with the insulation. Two are better than one, because when one falls, it didn't say if one falls, it says when one falls. It's gonna happen, but we'll be there to pick each other up. If this is so important that Jesus even did it, if anybody could walk this world alone and be like, y'all fool, I got stuff to do, stay over there 3 years, that's all I got. I ain't got time to talk to you. I'm the Son of God. All power in my hand. No, but he chose to insulate himself with 12 men and then a core of three. Do y'all remember when Jesus was in the garden and he was praying before he went to the cross and he asked three of his disciples to come with him and they fell asleep? This is such a beautiful picture to me of insulation community, because they were bad friends at that moment. They weren't perfect people. They were people who fell asleep when Jesus needed them. He came back, gave them another opportunity. Guess what? Snooze button. They went to sleep again. But Jesus still considered it, even if it wasn't perfect, it was purpose that he had people around him. So if it was good for the Son of God, our example, why would you go through any process alone? Insulate you. Let me give you the last two. You need to value you. That's all I've been trying to get you to do. Like, y'all know this is the first time we're actually this week going to forgive somebody, and it's F you. It's forgiving you. Value you. Can I say something very, very, very important for you to know? You're worth it. You taking this time and holding space for you to be able to do this process, it's worth whatever you lose. It's worth not getting likes on Instagram. It's worth not going to the ball game. It's worth your husband or your wife having to make time and understand that you need to do this, because you're only feeding them out of the emptiness that is in you. You only can give what's actually there. And God's saying, I want to fill you up where there's no hole at the bottom of the cup. I want you to live out of your overflow. Do you remember I came that you might have life and have life to the full? But you can't live full when you're leaking. Forgive you. Value you. I'm going to say something that most pastors won't say, but I'm a firm believer in this. For many of you to walk through the healing that you need a counselor. You need a therapist. You need a Christian counselor that will help you unpack your baggage. That was like the fourth choice down on my list right there. I had a lot of other words I wanted to say. And I know you've learned how to cope with it. It's worth you paying somebody. Less shoes, more healing. Less vacations, more freedom. Less Instagram pictures, more identity. I know don't nobody want to hear this because I'm messing up their 2021 plans, but less flexing and more, oh, Jesus, forgiveness. I'm going to be honest with you. Me and Pastor Natalie have been in intensive counseling for the season of life we're walking through for the past 2 years. Your pastor has a therapist that I go see all the time, and it's expensive. It's cars. Like, I could be driving a car instead of going to see Julianne in Colorado. I love you, boo. She is a part of me and Natalie's family. Not because she went through what we've gone through. It's because she helped us forgive ourselves. It's because she's helped us unpack all the trauma. And what I'm saying to you is that it's worth it. Value you more than a new plastic surgery or a haircut or a trend that will be out in 6 months. Value the only thing you're going to live with for the rest of your life. You! Forgive you, value you. I'm going to give you my last one because I'm over time. You're worth it. Do you know how much you're worth it? Look what God says in Romans 8:16. He says, for the Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm you. When somebody comes to affirm you, they're telling you, like, yes, you are that. Yes, you are valuable. Yes, you are. The Spirit comes to affirm that we are God's children. Do you know what happens when you realize who your daddy is? My daughters and son have a different swag because of who their daddy is. Like, not because I present that I'm some great. It's my track record with them of doing what I said I will do, being there and showing compassion and love, that when they walk around, they will tell people, my daddy said I can have this. Well, it costs $6. I don't matter the cost. My daddy said, this is mine. Why? It's because they've been affirmed in private. They have confidence in public because of the affirmation in private. And God's saying, you're my child. The Spirit affirms this. You're my children. And since we are his children, I'm going to upgrade the title. We are his heirs. We've been so broke all of our life, we don't understand heirs. Heirs is like the generational blessing. Like there are heirs that never met the person who made the wealth, but because they're in the family line, they get to walk in the same benefit. And God is saying that you're not just my children, you are heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are the heirs of God's glory. But if we share in his glory, watch this, we must also share in his suffering. If we share in the glory of being able to forgive, we also must share in the suffering of being able to extend forgiveness. Last one. If you're going to forgive you, I'm just begging you. Embrace you. Embrace you right where you are right now. Make space. Give yourself the permission to just embrace yourself. Come on, just hug yourself right there like that. Like, come on, just put your arms around yourself. Embrace you. this is who I am today. Come on, just, I have anxiety attacks. I'm jealous. I'm money hungry. I'm really jealous of my friend's relationship. Come on, wherever you are, I'm not asking you to change it now. Just embrace it. I act like I read the Bible, but I'm actually very intimidated by the Word of God. I'm still dabbling in pornography. I love my family. I don't like them. Embrace you. Wherever you are right now, I'm very awkward about my identity. I don't know what God's calling me to do. I'm very unsure of my purpose. It's okay. Embrace you. Just take this moment. I thought we would be farther by now. Me and my husband plan to be in a house by now. We don't want our kids growing up like this. It's okay. I know some of you want the service to be over, but the only thing that you can do right now is embrace where you're at. It's not going to change today or tomorrow. But you can embrace this moment. I thought I would be further. I thought I would make more money. I thought my kids would appreciate me more. I thought my impact would be worldwide right now, but it's literally in my room. Embrace it. This is where I'm at. And God's saying, right from here, right from this place of pain, you can forgive you. From right here. From this moment. All we're going to do from right here, this week, you're going to make space. Some of you need to get off of social media the rest of this week. Yep, some of you need to, all the plans you had, you need 2 hours every day just to go through this process and embrace it. Oh, do you really want to change? Or you thought it was going to happen in a Sunday service and you got a sprinkle and a touch and you was able to go. It took 30 years for you to be this messed up. And you won't give God 30 days to change it? What are we going to do? How are we going to move? What is our response? F you. I'm going to forgive you. Yeah, I'm going to forgive you, Michael. I'm going to face you. I'm going to own you. Yeah. I'm going to remind you of who God calls you. I'm going to grieve the idea of your daughters not ever hearing that you cheated on their mommy. I'm going to grieve that. I'm going to have to explain it to them. I'm going to have to tell them that daddy was not an example of a God that you need to trust your heart with. I'm grieving it. The only way I'm going to make it through that is because I'm going to insulate. Yeah, I'm gonna bring people around me to be in the fight with me, to join arms with me, to pray for me, to pray through it with me, to call me out when I'm on my bull, and to stand with me when I'm feeling beaten. Yeah. And I'm gonna value me. I'm gonna value me enough to, in the middle of the success of relationship goals being the New York Times bestseller, I'm going to value me enough to go ahead and honor God and honor the word and go on sabbatical. And yeah, it means I'm going to come off the New York Times bestseller. And yeah, that means money's going to be taken out of my pocket for my family. And yeah, that means, but I think I'm worth more than what I can produce. I'm going to value me. I'm not defined by what other people think of me. I'm defined by who God says I am. I'm gonna value me, and even if it's 1 inch a year, 1 inch a month, 1 inch a week, I'm going to embrace where I'm at right now. F you. Forgive you. I've taken all this time to lay out a practical plan for you to humble yourself. And say, God, whatever you want to do in me, here I am. I can't control them, But I got the key to this. And if I put my life in your hands, I can be free. If that's you, wherever you are right now, I want to pray for you. If that's you, you're saying, I want to make this step. I want to forgive myself. I'm saying F you to myself. And I'm telling you, this week, you need to put your cell phone up and just say, I forgive you. I want you to post it. You don't got to give no explanation to anybody else in the world, but I just want you to post, I forgive you. And I'm going to do it too. I'm going to stand and I'm going to say, Michael, I forgive you. And people all over the world will be interested. What are they forgiving themselves for? It doesn't matter, because this is a process that God is going to affirm privately. And it's going to show up in my life publicly, but I will forgive. And it's going to start with me. Father, I pray right now for every person, every brother and sister that is under the sound of my voice. Father God, I believe your spirit is working right now. Father, you're uncovering and uncapping old wells of hurt and pain, frustration, lies. Father God, and I thank you right now by your spirit, you are coming to help people walk through this process of forgiveness. Father, they will not start with forgiving others, but by your spirit, Father, they're going to be able to walk through this process of forgiving themselves. I pray for freedom. I pray for the keys, Father God, for them being able to unlock themselves from childhood wounds, unlock themselves from fragrant situations that they put themselves in, to unlock themselves, to own themselves, to give themselves the ability to value and embrace this moment right now. God, I'm praying that you bring godly people all around them, Father, to insulate them. God, I thank you that this week will be massive deliverance, not because of what somebody else did, but because we looked in the mirror and we faced it, and what your spirit is going to do in our lives. Today, we trust you. As tears are flowing all over the world right now, as hearts are being moved right now, we're saying, make us over again. Yeah, that's what I hear the Holy Spirit saying. Make me over again. I said, Lord,
make me over.
Come on, just say.
Say, Lord, make me
in your house, in your mind, right now. Somebody say,
Lord, make me over.
Come on, just confess. Say,
make me over again.
Do it in me first, God. Somebody say,
say, make me over again.
Come on, just say that again. Just cry out. Say, make me
over.
In this empty arena, God, I'm crying out. Show me me. Make me over again.
If
you're under the sound of my voice and you want to ask Christ into your life, this is the best time to do it. Like when you're about to go on this journey of trying to get free, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, which comes to us in salvation, his one of his names is the Paraclete, the one who comes alongside of us to help us. And what God wants to do is he wants to help you, but he's a gentleman. He's not going to knock your life door down and I am the Holy One of Israel, let me in. The Bible says he stands at the door and he knocks. Today, God's been knocking on somebody's door. You don't even know why you're watching this. You don't even know how you got in the room. You don't even know why you stayed at that person's house and why this is on right now. And God's saying, I do, because this was a divine setup for you to receive salvation. If you want to receive that today, all you have to do, according to Romans 10:9, is believe and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and he died for you. That's what I did. When I believed, it was the thing that changed me. I repented. I turned from what I was going to, and I turned to God. And the rest of this, I know religion's going to tell you, you need to clean up. You need to change this. You need to stop smoking. You need to stop drinking. No, 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 no. God is going to help you do that. When you look at the mirror of the word, you're going to start seeing there's things that don't line up with it. But God's saying salvation, grace is available to you right now. And if you give him your habits, he'll help you change them. And right here, you can belong here before you behave. That's what happened to me. It was my love for God and my understanding for what he did for me that caused me to change. That was progression, not perfection. Today I want to offer that to you. On the count of three, we're about to pray. But if you want to be added in that prayer, if you're saying, Pastor, I want to start receiving the forgiveness that has already been provided through Jesus Christ, I want you to lift your hands. One, you're making the greatest decision of your life. Two, it's the thing that took me from being a liar, a manipulator, somebody who was all into sexual perversion, and it transformed my life. Three, lift your hands right now all over the world. I don't care if you're watching this on rebroadcast. Right now, God sees you. I don't have to see you. God sees you, and heaven is rejoicing. Because we're going to pray this prayer together. And you know, Transformation Nation, nobody here prays alone. You understand? We're going to insulate these people. We're going to be their community right now. And if that's you, I want you to pray this prayer with all of us. Say, Father God, thank you for forgiving me. Today, I give you my life. I ask you to come in. I believe you lived and you died just for me. Change me, renew me, transform me. I'm yours in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, if you just prayed that prayer, I want to tell you that all of heaven and everybody in this room is rejoicing over the one person that came to Christ. When I tell you that everything right now is about to start changing for you, if you would allow God to come in and help you, and you just did it, I want you to text the number on your screen because we want to give you some steps to help you walk this out. I'm telling you that week 5 is just the beginning. This is where we start forgiving people. But next week, we're going to a whole nother level. We're about to hit buttons. It's about to be surgery. But I'm telling you, as we make it through this, the freedom I feel that's going to happen at Christmas, the freedom that, like, literally by the end of this year, I feel people are going to be able to spread their wings and fly like never before. Forgive you. I want you to go out and have the best week of your life. You are favored. You are called. You are more than enough. You are worthy. God loves you, and so do we. Go out and live a transformed life. God bless you.
If God is transforming your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. You can give through our TC app or at transformchurch.us/give. Thank you for listening, and remember to subscribe to enjoy more messages like this. Now, go and live a transformed life.